We are joined right now by somebody who covers the NBA for the New York Times. The man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter, Cal State Fullerton and Big West Conference legend, friend of the program, recipient of the 2019 Kurt Gowdy Media Award, Mark Stein joins us. It's good to have you back. Mark, how are you?
There's only one Big West legend on this call, man, and it's the Gaucho.
It's the Titan, my man Mark Stein. It is so good to have you. Let me ask you, before you and I get into NBA news, I want to talk to you for a second. As I mentioned, Mark, you are the recipient of the Kurt Gowdy Media Award, which the Hall of Fame announced during the All-Star Weekend. I've been meaning to talk to you about this. This is an enormous award. What did it mean to you to receive that honor?
Romy, it's the greatest thing ever. Professionally, like seriously, I still almost, how many, is it almost a month late? I can't even believe it. I can't even. Now, this is my 26th season, so I've been doing it a long time, but I'm still, I think, relatively young in this profession, closing in on the big 5-0 here. So, I mean, it's absolutely surreal. It means a ton. And then when they say, you know, for your contributions to the game, it makes it even more powerful. So I could try, but I can't even put it into words how much it means. I mean, it just doesn't seem real.
It's an amazing honor. Congratulations. You know, Mark, when you go back to the days that you were covering the Los Angeles Summer League at Loyola Marymount, in fact, for those of us in this area, we know what that league was like. What were those days like for you? And did you ever imagine at one point when you were back there that you would be winning the Kurt Gowdy Media Award?
No, really. Back then, it was just like, God, I want to do this for a living. Basically, I was lucky enough, going to Fullerton was huge because I was able to get on the part-time staff of the Orange County Register at 18. And the Register was, you know, in those days, just an absolute monster of a sports section and just tons of amazing writers on every beat. But it's just so funny how different the league was 30 years ago. You know, the Lakers were going to the finals every year. The beat writer would never go to Summer League. Like now Summer League is this massive industry where every game is televised and the whole NBA is there. Summer League was so much smaller back then. And basically the year before, one of the Register's writers did a whole page of articles from Summer League. So I just annoyingly bugged the hell out of my editors. Please let me be the one this year who gets to go to Summer League. And they just got so sick of me asking. They finally let me go. And that was a great summer because the Lakers just drafted Vlade Divac and the Spurs got David Robinson. And I just basically lived at that summer league. I was 20 and I just was like, man, I want to do, this is what I want to do. This would be the greatest job. And about, you know, five years after that, I got on the NBA full time and I never let go.
Mark Stein joining us. Listen, really quickly, I don't want to turn it into a complete retrospective and a trip down memory lane because, as you point out, you're still young in this business. You've got a lot of work ahead of you. But as you look back on all the stories and all the players that you covered, who sticks out to you the most? Like, what were some of your favorite stories and who were some of your favorite guys to talk to?
Well, look, from a pure interview perspective to this day, Barkley is just about the best. I mean, there's just, you know, he's still making news this week. I mean, everything the guy says is explosive, and he's just a great talker who, you know, opens up to us. But I think just in general, what I've loved about the NBA, and I think you would back me up on this, you've been having NBA guests on for as long as I can listen to you, of the major sports, it is the most open, and I think these guys show us their most real self better than any of the other sports. Durant, Kyrie Irving, we've been banging on these guys all year long. They're unhappy. They're this or that. But you know what? It's real. They're showing us their real selves. And I don't know if that happens in the other sports. But look, I got to cover Magic's comeback in 96, first year of Shaq, Kobe, obviously in Dallas, Nash, Nowitzki, Cuban, you know, the whole Warriors, you know, I mean, I could go on and on and on. I mean, I've been too lucky, man. We could be here for hours doing this.
Mark Stein joining us. You've had a great run. A lot still ahead of you. All right, so shifting to today, Mark, the Lakers have said there's a possibility that, well, not a possibility, but they will. They're going to monitor LeBron's workload for the rest of the season, and he may not play in the second games of back-to-backs. When he first arrived in L.A., nobody was thinking that they'd win a championship this year, but did you ever imagine that things would go as badly for him and for them as they have this year?
No, look, I was one of those guys who said, okay, the playoffs are a coin flip. But if it's a coin flip and LeBron James is on one side of the coin, you think that's the way it's going to land. I did not have the guts to say, the Lakers will not miss the playoffs. And obviously, his injury is a huge part of this. I mean, I think Mike Trudell, the Lakers sideline guy, had this this week that the Lakers are actually 18-12 when LeBron, Brandon Ingram, and Lonzo Ball are all on the floor together. And they've had, they lost LeBron for the longest injury of his career. They haven't had Lonzo. So there are some mitigating factors. But shutting LeBron down, cutting his minutes, sitting on back, I mean, they're done. They're out of it with 17 games to go. It's incredible that it turned this quick because it was just at All-Star Weekend. I remember talking to LeBron at All-Star Weekend, and he just looked at me, and he's like, we're making our run, and I'm starting to feel healthy. And, he came out of All-Star thinking they were going to make a run and make the playoffs, and it's just been a disaster since the All-Star game.
Mark, the thing is, I mean, it's all that, but the insane thing to me is it's a bad year, but it's, in terms of winning percentage, it's their best year since 2013. In other words, it's a colossal disappointment, and it's still their best season in 6 years. Exactly where does this leave this organization right now?
Well, they knew going into this year that even if they did make the playoffs and, presumably went out in the first round, this summer, everything was riding on the coming summer. But I think the question now is, as players around the league see the microscope that's on this team and just how much pressure there is this an attractive situation for free agents to go to? I mean, look, a lot of people would say that the Lakers still have a great chance to get Anthony Davis. Maybe they win the trade battle with Boston to get him. But if they don't trade for Anthony Davis, are they getting Kevin Durant? No. Are they getting Kyrie Irving? I would put them as a maybe in that one, but the prevailing wisdom around the league is still that Kyrie and Durant will go somewhere together. Are they getting Klay Thompson? No. Are they getting Kawhi Leonard? I think the Clippers get Kawhi Leonard. So who are the Lakers getting if they don't trade for Anthony Davis? I can't answer that question right now, but it doesn't look great. I mean, it doesn't look, what's materially going to change if they don't get Anthony Davis?
Mark Stein joining us. These are all fair questions, and they may not get him. Don't assume that he's coming like everybody assumed that Paul George would come, because he didn't either. Now, you spoke to Andrew Bogut, and he's going to rejoin Golden State. In terms of speaking to him, what was his excitement level like? What was that conversation like? And do you have a sense of how much he's got left in the tank?
Well, he's giddy. I mean, he because it's not just that the Warriors wanted him. The Warriors kind of covertly started lobbying him in December. Hey, if we have a roster spot in March, we want you. They told him, we're going to go into the buyout market, and if we get somebody in the buyout market, we're not going to have a roster spot for you. But if we don't, and your season's over, we want you to come back. And so for someone who left the NBA and went to his native Australia to play and thought that the door was closed forever, he's naturally very excited. Look, he's still, I think, just on know-how, positioning, angle, just how smart a team defender he is. He will help them defensively. I don't know how much he's going to play. Still, the big question with Golden State is they're still trying to figure out the Cousins thing. And, that's their priority right now. But to pick up Bogut after an MVP season in Australia, I'm sure people around their league are like, great, the last thing we want to see is the Warriors getting more help.
What the last thing they want to see, Mark, the last thing they want to see is the Warriors getting Giannis. Really quickly, now Golden State, they're always working a plan. Marcus Thompson of The Athletic recently wrote about the possibility of Golden State making a run at Giannis in 2022. From what you know, is that something that team has talked about internally, and could you actually see something like that happening?
Because it's this crazy league, I'll never say never. There's no question they've weighed it internally. I mean, Steph Curry and Giannis Antetokounmpo are not only friends, they're rep by the same agent. So I'm sure, Joe Lacob just has his general philosophy is that he thinks the Warriors should always be going after the best, targeting the best, and they'll make a run at anybody. They'll never think that they can't. So now this would be predicated on not being able to keep Durant, and I think, again, if you polled 30 general managers around the league, the majority would say, the overwhelming majority would say, they think Durant is leaving. So if Durant leaves, you know, they will definitely swing for the fences on Giannis. Now, I also think it's only right to point out, Giannis has done nothing but profess his love for Milwaukee. And with what they're building in Milwaukee and with how successful they've been this season, there hasn't even been an iota of an indication that he's looking to go elsewhere. But again, are you asking me, will the Warriors make a run at him? If they have the cap space, bank on it.
Hey, Mark, one last thought about Kevin Durant. I mean, Kevin Durant obviously is, I mean, best in class, maybe best in the world, one of the best to ever do it, world-class player. But when you look about where he's been, he was in OKC, then he went to Golden State and played with a number of other stars. If, in fact, he were to go to New York and be the guy, or even if he were to go to New York with Kyrie and there was a 1-1A situation, but if you're in a situation where you're in a tough town with a tough media and you're building from the ground up, how do you think that he would do there, KD?
Yeah, as annoyed as he's getting with the Bay Area media, I mean, I think, you know, Barkley said it this week, and anybody would rightly question how on earth is he going to cope with the kind of scrutiny that you get put under in New York from the tabloids there every single day. But there's just so much smoke about it that it's become what people expect. I mean, it's gotten to the point that I think it would be surprising if he stayed. I think people will be surprised if he stays. But I think you also got to always throw in that caveat that July 1 is still a long way away. There's, you know, the playoffs are almost like a season unto themselves. It's a two-month run. It's a two-month season unto itself. Where is Durant going to be when that's all over? If the Warriors win again, only he knows. I mean, that's the thing. We're all outsiders. We're all guessing. He hasn't said, he hasn't given any definitive hints. So do I think things could change and we could be having a different conversation, you know, on June 15th than we are now? Sure. But, you know, there's just so much talk about it that you can't dismiss it. No, and, you know, I can tell you to dismiss it, and nobody is. So, I mean, no one's going to listen to me.
Well, man, this is why they gave you the 2019 Kurt Gowdy Media Award, because of analysis like that. That is so true. I mean, so much could happen between now and then. And when you talk about the postseason being a season onto itself, nobody more so than for Golden State, who's been biding their time and waiting to get to this point because they know. And it is a season onto itself. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. He is the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter and is the recipient of the 2019 Kurt Gowdy Media Award. Mark, congrats again for that. You earned it. It's a tremendous honor. And it's great to have you back on the program.
See you in the Big West tournament, man. It's going to be us or you guys. One of us has got to take UC Irvine out.
I was going to say, dude, UC Irvine looks good, don't they? They look really good.
I cannot bear for UC Irvine to win the Big West. So if we don't do it, the Gauchos better do it.
You got it. All right, Mark, thanks so much. Great having you on. We had Russell Turner on this week, too. UC Irvine is the class of that conference right now. He goes, I can't bear the thought. It's going to be us. And if it can't be us, it better be you guys. Anybody but UC Irvine. Gauchos, UCI, Cal State Fullerton, the beach. Big West, baby. All of us Big West Conference guys stick together.